There's a minig in the yeshiva that on Rosh Chodesh Adar, the Heidegger seniors, right, make some kind of stick in the, you know, building. So there was a, I'm very proud of this. Not that part, this next coming part. That the, when I first came, the main shtick was done in the Beis Medrash. And we stood on this very, very strong for years. Because when you have to fight a culture, it takes years to fight a culture. And we have succeeded in the last probably 5 years, I don't know, maybe more, that with the shtick, there's no, there has not been shtick in the Beis Medrash. Now, in the dining room, in the classrooms, outside, inside, whatever, but not in the Beis Medrash. And there's a reason why the, we did that. The reason is because, there's two reasons. The simple reason is because it's probably an Issa Deraisa. Yeah. Because there is, if you learn the Chofetz Chaim says that if you speak Lashon Hara, you know, the Chofetz Chaim makes a list of all the Yisurim Deraisa speaking Lashon Hara, and one of his Issa Deraisa is if you speak in Lashon Hara in a Beis Medrash, you're over in Israel, Mikdashai Tiro'o. And he says, because even Bisman Hazeh, a Beis Medrash has Kedusha, there's such a thing called Kedusha, and it's a Mikdash Ma'at, and therefore the Pasuk of Mikdashai Tiro'o applies to the Beis Medrash Bisman Hazeh. Imidah Raisa, I think Chofetz Chaim learns. So he says, if you speak Lashon Hara in the Beis Medrash, that's a Bito Mikdashai Tiro'o. I do not know exactly what to gather, when you're over and when you're not over. I don't know. But I am pretty sure that if you do real, I used to tell the seniors at Mimanachah, if it's really successfully funny, you're probably over the Issa Deraisa. And if it's not that funny that you're not over, then there's no point in doing it. So, you know, no, you know. So that is one reason why we try to avoid, because we do try, you know, avoid a certain derisive. But that's not the main reason. Because, as I said many times I see people doing a certain derisive and we just, okay, that's, you know, what can you do? You can't fight every battle. So, okay, so that we over this is a derisive, one more is a derisive, you know. But, no, that's half serious. But the main reason is because there's a hashgafa that you can't fight every battle, but you have to pick the main battles. And that's what we kept on saying. We said this in Edel, that when you're picking which mitzvahs to work on, you have to pick certain main things. And how do you determine what's a main? You pick a main, something which has a tremendous hashba and everything else. In other words, if you have an aveira that a person is being nichshol, but it's isolated, it's not being mashpia on anything else, so obviously you should be misaking it. I'm not giving a head to the other aveiras. But it's not as bad as when you have an aveira, that aveira is causing 25 other aveiras. And the same thing with mitzvahs. You have a mitzvah that's a mitzvah, it's very nice. But if you have a mitzvah which is causing as a snowball many other mitzvahs, so then that's even better. So when you're picking what to work on, we said as in Rosh Hashanah, you should pick a project of something, a mitzvah, to do mitzvahs and avoid aveiros that have a snowball effect. So the same thing is true as Rabbeim. Rabbeim, when they, especially with younger guys who are, there are many, many things perhaps that guys are not doing always right, you know. So you have to pick your battles. So the battles that we pick are things that snowball. So was taught that Kedushas Beis Medrash is not just a mitzvah, but it is a one of the major mitzvahs and has a major hashba on everything else. And it's a very big inyan to work on. Rav Zuckerman was a, you know, was a Talmud of Kelm. He learned in Kelm. Kelm, there were very, very few people survived the war who learned in Kelm. Because Kelm altogether only had around 25 Bachrim in the whole Kelm. Because Kelm was, as it was by imitation only. You could not just come to Kelm. There were many people that came to Kelm to learn, and they wouldn't let them in. Serious Achashra people. I think even Rabbi Yeruchim was the most famous Musar personality before World War II. He spent like a year or half of his man that they locked him out. You know, he learned on the maybe outside. He's trying to get in. I think that is correct. I'm not sure, unless I'm mixing up with someone else. But the Maisa, Kelm was very machbid. But one of the Shitas, Rav Zuckerman learned in Kelm, and one of the Shitas, he said that Kelm held very strong, is you gotta be machbid on Kedusha's base matters. The Hashkafa was, besides the mitzvahs deraisa of Yaveh of Mikdash Haytiro, and there's a pasuk of Ashrei Yoshvei Veisacha, which means just sitting in a base medrash, if you're not doing anything, sitting there respectfully, even if you're not learning, it's a mitzvah. It's brought down in the Rambam and the Aruch HaShulchan. Kumi Mishabura brings it too. I don't remember. That if a person, you're not allowed to use a base medrash as a shortcut, something which I think many, many people do not keep in this yeshiva. But you're not supposed to use the base medrash as a shortcut. So if you do, what if you have to go in to call someone out of the base medrash, or you need to use the base medrash for a shortcut for a major reason? So you're not supposed to stop for a minute and learn in the base medrash. So then you're not really using it as a shortcut. You're copying the opportunity to learn. Okay, but you learn for a minute, and then you go on learning the base medrash. But what if the person is an Amoritz, and doesn't know how to learn? But he has to go into the base medrash to call someone out. So what's he supposed to do? So it's brought down the halacha. He's supposed to sit down and do nothing for a minute, or 60 seconds. That's a minute, I'll take it back. 5, 10 seconds, whatever, you know. He's supposed to sit down because sitting in a base medrash is a mitzvah, ashrei yoshrei veisacha. So there's a certain mitzvah being in the base medrash. But what they held in Kelm is that when you feel that a base medrash has kedusha, so that doesn't just make high in the mitzvah of kedusha's base medrash, but it makes your learning a better learning. It makes your davening a better davening, because it's psychological. You know, people always complain that Chavetz Chaim doesn't have ruach. Okay. It's probably true, but the truth is that it doesn't say anywhere in Svarim that there's a ruach. That's a make believe thing. But the real ruach that the Torah holds of is kedushas beis medrash. That's a real ruach. That's a halacha. That's real. Some of the other thing is just fake. It's not a real halachic. You know, okay, it's a psychological. You feel it, but it's not real. But the real ruach, which a person should feel, because that's what's real, is when you obey. There's such a thing as kedusha. There was a person in Eretz Yisrael. His name was Oyve. Okay, we'll skip his name. He used to give. Slipped my mind. His name. He used to give. There was a Musar Kodo in the base in the Miklat in Israel, and for a while he used to give. Schneider, his name was Rav Schneider. He used to give the Musar. He was the Reish Kodo of the Musar Kodo until he moved out. His grandfather started. There was a famous yeshiva called the Schneider Yeshiva in London. There were the Modin was man and learned in the Schneider Yeshiva. A lot of Chashva people. That was like the Chashva yeshiva in London in the 1920s, 30s. His father learned by Rav Yeruchim. He's also one of the Rosh Shivas there, I think. And his son learns there. He's very big into Musar. He goes around and says Musar shmuzim. He's a British fellow, but he says Musar. So he told us that one of the Yisaitis that he learned from his father, who his father just Agav once spoke at a yard site for Rav David, because his father remembered Rav David from Europe, not from America. He remembered him from Europe. But anyway, so he said that one of the Yisaitis he learned from his father, that Rav Yeruchim, is that we have to believe that Kedusha and Tumah is a real entity. In other words, when you when you talk about non-kosher food, you have to feel that there's a real tumah to it. It's not just Hashem said it's aser. That itself should be a motivation. But there's mamish tumah. Hashem said it's aser, and the psukim said it's a ruach atumah on non-kosher food. Now, you can't see it, because we can't see, but you have to have a moon of the Torah that there's such a thing. There's a tumah in that food. When you eat that food, you're eating tumah, and it's affecting you, because even if you'd eat it ba'ines, there's a tumah, a certain extent. The same thing, there are certain things that have intrinsic kedusha, and a base medrash has kedusha. And you're supposed to believe that. You walk into a base medrash, it's a makom kaddish. So, if you could feel that, then your learning would be a better learning. Because you're not just dam learning. You're learning in a makom kaddish. You're learning, your davening would be better. This is not stam a davening. When you go to the kolto, and I think everyone davens better at the kolto. Why are they davening better at the kolto? Because they feel, oh, this is a special place. So, if we could hear that the base medrash is also the koso. You know, the probability is, I say this without exaggeration, there's more kedusha in the base medrash than what we would think that there is in the koso. Right? In other words, we don't, I mean, the koso might have more, but I say, what you think there is in the koso, you got in the base medrash. There's a tremendous kedusha in a base medrash. When you're dabbling in a base medrash, you're dabbling in, it's considered the base of Mikdash. That's why you're over the pasuk of Mikdash Haytirayu, which was the pasuk of on the base of Mikdash, in the base medrash. So a person has got to feel, in other words, it's not only that it's a mitzvah to be mechabe the base medrash, and it's a veira to mechadal the base medrash, but it affects how much battling a person does. It affects how much a person learns. So what Rav Zuckerman told us, and in Kelm, Kelm had a shita that they would not let outsiders walk into the base medrash. An amazing shita. If you were not allowed, even if you were a Talmud Chacham, sure, if you're a Baal Bas, you were not allowed to walk into the base medrash. The base medrash was only for the Chevrei and Yeshiva, people who had Rishus. He said there were certain people that had Rishus all year to go in. Certain people had Rishus only to go in on Shabbos. Certain people had Rishus only to go in on Yom Ha'Ra'im. It was like a little bit, they felt on Yom Ha'Ra'im they could trust them. Because they were trying to retain the atmosphere of a Kedusha's base medrash. It would be the Chas V'Sham, no one would talk anything different in there. He said that in Kelm, I'm pretty sure he said that in Kelm, they hired a person who would have all the people's gemaras open to the right place before they walked in. And different people learning different things to know what they were learning. So that when the guy walked in for Seder, he wouldn't have to waste time in Bato in a base medrash. But the person handed him, maybe the guy stood outside the base medrash, I don't know, he would hand him the gemara, this is where you're up to. So he could walk into the base medrash with his gemara open. So he wouldn't have to waste time in the base medrash. They were very makbid. Base medrash, you can't bop down in a base medrash. Obviously you can't talk to Ibrahim Batanim. Now, obviously we're not in the Madrega of Kelm. I'm not advocating that. But the concept that they were so makbid in Kelm that I know there's a Tifrak, they say they tried to be makbid in that. That's their shita. That they very, very makbid on the base medrash there too. But, again, we're not on that madrega, and I'm not advocating that we should never say a batoa in the base medrash, and that you should never, but a certain things, you shouldn't, certain things you should have a respect for the base medrash. You get a phone call, you should try and go out of the base medrash to talk. Don't talk in the base medrash on your phone. Don't scream in the base medrash. Scream across the base medrash. Don't leave a mess in a base medrash. Don't leave your dirty cups lying around and everything else. It's a bizui base medrash. The mitzvah of making the base amigdash nice. All the kedem of the base amigdash that were nice is the chinuch says so that people should mechabe the base amigdash. So you don't leave a mess in the Beis Medrash. You don't walk into the Beis Medrash and if you're not dressed properly. A guy's in his pajamas and his shorts should not come marching into the Beis Medrash. Right? In other words, people have to treat the Beis Medrash with respect. And besides the fact that that itself is a mitzvah deraisa, right? I have a whole sefer here. See, a whole sefer. Meira Migdish. It's all about the halachas of Beis Medrash. The amazing thing is, I bought this sefer about 30 years ago in Eretz Yisrael. And it's a very nice sefer. It doesn't say who put it out. It just says in the beginning, in the introduction, that there was a Vad Meira Migdish, and they said they gathered together to make tribe mechazek people's Kedusha Beis Medrash. It says there in introduction, Kol Rega Berega, every second. Adam Yoshev Beis Knesset Be'ema Be'ira, if you sit in the Beis Knesset Beis Medrash with respect, and your Nizar in the Kedusha, your Mikaim, two mitzvahs essays. Right? Nice second, every second, even if you're not learning. But what's interesting is later on I became a big fan of Rav Homaner, and they came out with this sefer, which I advocated that many times the guys should read, that it's a Mikoso Show Evan Melt, which is like, it's like a biography a little bit of the Rav Homaner, but it's not really like it's a different type of biography. It's a biography of how he worked on himself. And in the end there, it says that Rav Homaner put out this sefer without his name, of course. But okay, it's interesting. So, because he was very big in Kedushas Beis Medrash, so. But there is such an inyan. We go through here a lot of things about the Kedushas, without getting into it. Many halachas of people. But at least they say it's in the Sefer Chasidim. Sefer Chasidim is a Rishon, right? It says there. Now there are different gerses. But either it was Rashi's father, or I think in most Gerushim it was Rabbeinu Gershom's father. Rabbeinu Gershom was called Me'or Agoida. And it says that how was he Zoicha that such a son, that he was such a big tzaddik? So it says because he was the shamish of the Beis Knesset, and he would wash the Aron Kodesh with his beard. Now, I'm not advocating that. But that, in other words, because it was a way of demonstrating covet in a Beis Medrash. I can't just take a dirty sponge and wash the Beis Medrash. So he used his beard to brush dust off the Aron Kodesh. And in that schus says he was had a son of called Rav Gershon, Rav Gershon or Agaida. So there is a mitzvah stam for all those people who do leave cups and other stuff lying around the Beis Medrash. If you're walking in the Beis Medrash and you see one and you're anyway walking out, you might as well pick one up and throw it out, and you get a mitzvah of Chavad Beis Medrash. Right? So one of the easiest mitzvahs in the world. You're walking out of the Beis Medrash and there's always people leave their garbage leaving the Beis Medrash. So you pick it up and take it with you, and then you pass a garbage bill. You dispose of it. It's a mitzvah. It's also a mitzvah if you're walking to the front or to the side, and you pass a sefer on the table, and you're going to pass the bookcase where it goes, you can put it in the bookcase. Also, a very, very easy mitzvah, which is, first of all, it's a covet-based medrash, it's a chesed for the person who's going to need the sefer, and it's a chesed for whoever has to clean the base medrash, which is also true. But anyway, there is an inyan. It's considered a major inyan of Mechabe Beis Medrash. So for that reason, that's what I'm saying, so for years we've been fighting, I think successfully the last few years, but there was when I first came to Miami, the very strong minig here was, and it's very hard to fight strong in Hagen, was that they had tremendous Purim shtick in the Beis Medrash. There was one year they brought a car into the Beis Medrash. There was another year, right? I don't know how they got it in. I can't tell you, but they got it into the Beis Medrash. There was another year they made a swimming pool in the Beis Medrash with sand and lakes and ducks and everything, And but one year they made it into a but they are both Avodah Zarah. They put statues in, you know, they were very, all kinds of creative things. But we've fought very much against it, and I think we've been successful. Please, if you see, if you're here, and the seniors, and you notice that they are trying to do anything in Beis Medrash, please tell them that the yeshiva is very makbid. You can say, I'm very makbid. What we do allow the guys to do is they put decorations on the window outside the Beis Medrash, if you can see it, into the Beis Medrash. Okay, that's a head. Yeah, it might be. I mean, I told the guy, no, it wasn't a real Avodah, it was just balloons, you know, blow-ups, statues, of totem poles, and all kinds of other good things. So, I don't know. But, you know, but the mice, if it's funny, it's probably usher. If it's not funny, so what are you doing it for? You know, but the mice, the yeshiva is very makbid. And I'm very makbid. If the Beis Medrash should be kept, and even for Purim, even Purim Mashgiach, and even signs, I don't necessarily like all the signs that are hung up on the Beis Medrash. The Beis Medrash is not a place where everyone can just hang up any sign that he wants. Only the Rebbeim get to hang up any sign they want. Right? In other words, Beis Medrash is a makom kadosh. You want a bulletin board? There's a bulletin board other places for non-major yeshiva business. Right, it's not the places, the yeshiva bulletin board and the Beis Medrash in size of causes bittul Torah. But the Beis Medrash is a makom kaddish, so you don't hang up signs. We don't do shit. We have to treat the Beis Medrash with tremendous respect, and that way, first of all, we get a mitzvah deraisa, and second of all, hopefully, it would rub off on our learning and our davening. Okay.